To make Heya a hit, DJs soon realized they needed to make the song feel familiar. And to do that, something special was required. The problem was that computer programs such as Hit Song Science were pretty good at predicting people's habits. But sometimes those algorithms found habits that hadn't actually emerged yet. And when companies market to habits we haven't adopted, or even worse, are unwilling to admit to ourselves, like our secret affection for sappy ballads, firms risk going out of business. If a grocery store boasts, "We have a huge selection of sugary cereals and ice cream," shoppers stay away. If a butcher says, "Here's a piece of intestine for your dinner table," a 1940s housewife serves tuna casserole instead. When a radio station boasts, "Celine Dion every half hour," no one tunes in. So instead, supermarket owners tout their apples and tomatoes while making sure you pass the M&Ms and Häagen-Dazs on the way to the register. Butchers in the 1940s call liver the new steak, and DJs quietly slip in the theme song from Titanic. Heya needed to become part of an established listening habit to become a hit. And to become part of a habit, it had to be slightly camouflaged at first, the same way housewives camouflaged liver by slipping it into meatloaf. So at WIOQ in Philadelphia, as well as at other stations around the nation, DJs started making sure that whenever Heya was played, it was sandwiched between songs that were already popular. "It's textbook playlist theory," said Tom Webster, a radio consultant. "Play a new song between two consensus popular hits." DJs, however, didn't air Heya alongside just any kind of hit. They sandwiched it between the types of songs that Rich Meyer had discovered were uniquely sticky, from artists like Blue Cantrell, Three Doors Down, Maroon 5, and Christina Aguilera. Some stations, in fact, were so eager they used the same song twice. Consider, for instance, the WIOQ playlist for September 19th, 2003. 11:43, "Here Without You" by Three Doors Down. 11:54, "Breathe" by Blue Cantrell. 11:58, "Heya" by Outkast. 12:01, "Breathe" by Blue Cantrell. Or the playlist for October 16th. 9:41, "Harder to Breathe" by Maroon 5. 9:45, "Heya" by Outkast. 9:49, "Can't Hold Us Down" by Christina Aguilera. 10 o'clock, "Frontin'" by Pharrell. November 12th, 9:58, "Here Without You" by Three Doors Down. 10:01, "Heya" by Outkast. 10:05, "Like I Love You" by Justin Timberlake. 10:09, "Baby Boy" by Beyoncé. "Managing a playlist is all about risk mitigation," said Webster. "Stations have to take risks on new songs, otherwise people stop listening. But what listeners really want are songs they already like. So you have to make new songs seem familiar as fast as possible." When WIOQ first started playing Heya in early September, before the sandwiching started, 26.6% of listeners changed the station whenever it came on. By October, after playing it alongside sticky hits, that tune-out factor dropped to 13.7%. By December, it was 5.7%. Other major radio stations around the nation used the same sandwiching technique, and the tune-out rate followed the same pattern. And as listeners heard Heya again and again, it became familiar. Once the song had become popular, WIOQ was playing Heya as many as 15 times a day. People's listening habits had shifted to expect, crave even, Heya. A Heya habit emerged. The song went on to win a Grammy, sell more than 5.5 million albums, and earn radio stations millions of dollars. This album cemented Outkast in the pantheon of superstars, Bartels, the promotion executive, told me. This is what introduced them to audiences outside of hip-hop. "It's so fulfilling now when a new artist plays me their single and says, 'This is going to be the next Heya.'" After Andrew Pohl built his pregnancy prediction machine, after he identified hundreds of thousands of female shoppers who were probably pregnant, after someone pointed out that some, in fact most, of those women might be a little upset if they received an advertisement making it obvious Target knew their reproductive status, everyone decided to take a step back and consider their options. The marketing department thought it might be wise to conduct a few small experiments before rolling out a national campaign. They had the ability to send specially designed mailers to small groups of customers, so they randomly chose women from Pohl's pregnancy list and started testing combinations of advertisements to see how shoppers reacted. "We have the capacity to send every customer an ad booklet specifically designed for them that says, 'Here's everything you bought last week and a coupon for it,'" one Target executive with first-hand knowledge of Pohl's pregnancy predictor told me. "We do that for grocery products all the time." With the pregnancy products, though, we learned that some women react badly. Then we started mixing in all these ads for things we knew pregnant women would never buy. So the baby ads looked random. We'd put an ad for a lawnmower next to diapers. We put a coupon for wine glasses next to infant clothes. That way it looked like all the products were chosen by chance. And we found out that as long as a pregnant woman thinks she hasn't been spied on, she'll use the coupons. She just assumes that everyone else on her block got the same mailer for diapers and cribs. As long as we don't spook her, it works. The answer to Target and Pohl's question, "How do you advertise to a pregnant woman without revealing that you know she's pregnant?" was essentially the same one that DJs used to hook listeners on Heya. Target started sandwiching the diaper coupons between non-pregnancy products that made the advertisement seem anonymous, familiar, comfortable. They camouflaged what they knew. Soon, Target's mom and baby sales exploded. The company doesn't break out sales figures for specific divisions, but between 2002, when Pohl was hired, and 2009, Target's revenues grew from $44 billion to $65 billion. In 2005, the company's president, Greg Steinhoffel, boasted to a room full of investors about the company's heightened focus on items and categories that appeal to specific guest segments such as mom and baby. As our database tools grow increasingly sophisticated, Target Mail has come into its own as a useful tool for promoting value and convenience to specific guest segments, such as new moms or teens, he said. For example, Target Baby is able to track life stages from prenatal care to car seats and strollers. In 2004, the Target Baby Direct Mail program drove sizable increases in trips and sales. Whether selling a new song, a new food, or a new crib, the lesson is the same. If you dress a new something in old habits, it's easier for the public to accept it.